Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's show, the show tries to answer an age-old question, a question that Scott happens to hate. Is bigger actually better? They do that by testing a 1 liter bottle of Funkenhausen Cabernet from Argentina. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I am joined by an inquisitive Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Very inquisitive. Inquisitive to find out on the show if, in fact, bigger is better. I've been told many times that it is. That's just my personal experience.
They were just trying to say that to hurt your feelings, Scott. Also on the show is the Triple B.
Good evening.
Yes. Tonight, folks, you heard on the open what we are drinking. And it's interesting. And I think for this panel, there's one interesting tidbit about this wine. And this is Funkenhausen wine. The most interesting thing about it is something that is completely unrelated to anything that we're drinking. It's just completely unrelated. But nevertheless, I think at the end of the night, we'll find it to be the most interesting thing. And I'll tell you that later. But Funkenhausen, Argentinian Cabernet from Mendoza. Mendoza is the biggest producing area in Argentina. They produce tons of shit. Cabernet. They always do everything in a 1 liter bottle. Okay? They do a Chardonnay. They do a Malbec blend with a Syrah and some other rando thing. And they do a dry rosé because everybody wants 1 liter of dry rosé.
I do.
You want 2 liters of dry rosé, perhaps.
3 liters. 4. What's Why
this?
Not 5?
And how much is this 1 liter?
$15.99. As are their other varietals.
They're all the same price?
Yes. Also, the dry rosé, which isn't a varietal. It's just schlock. It's $15.99.
I do see a budget bottle. That's the name of the purveyor. $12.99, but it's a $7.50. But it goes back to 2010.
What?
Funkenhausen, Malbec, La Espera, 2010, $7.50 ml. I'll bet that's still vibrant.
They have that for sale?
They do at budget bottles.
Budget,
no tax, by the way.
Budget bottles.
Budget bottles.
Why do you have that?
I just
first
put
of all,
up Funkenhausen, and if, it's the fifth list on the...
Okay. If you were to put your credit card in that site, there would be a Russian mobster that would be a little bit richer, yeah. And you would never get a bottle of wine.
In like 2 or 3 years, it would be like Scott File tied to Trump, blah, blah, blah.
Scott File.
I don't even think it'd be Russian.
You'd have like 18 porn site memberships.
It'd be Kazakhstanian.
And 3 of them would be invalid. I mean, 3 of them would be fraudulent. I mean, you didn't sign up for those.
Well, that's funny.
Yes, I do. It's funny. It might be true. Nevertheless.
Yeah.
No, actually, this is imported by the Global Vineyard Importers. They have multitudes of Chilean and Argentinian wines, and they also, and this is the most interesting thing about this wine, import Apatagua. So.
That is interesting.
So this is kind of the highlight of the show already.
Do you want to know something interesting about Espacio Funkenhausen? That's the winery by the nature. They might be closed early today because it's the anniversary of General Martin Miguel de Güemes' death. It might affect those hours today.
He is who?
I don't know who he is.
Was he a rank of some kind?
General.
Oh, General. Yeah. Well, he is my favorite Argentinian general. He is.
Be careful saying that blindly.
That's yeah.
What? Is he something dirty?
He could
possibly
be a bad man.
He could be bad. He could be good.
He might be involved with the Falklands.
Yeah, he could be part of a coup.
Yo, might be why he's the anniversary of his death.
Could be.
Yeah.
Little Falkland. They take that very seriously down there.
Yeah.
They wanted a sheep herding island, and they got their ass kicked by the Brits.
Yeah.
You got your ass kicked. You just did.
Destroyed.
Brits had to come all the way across the sea. They never did that anymore. They still kicked your ass. They'd kick your ass again. I'm just putting them in their place.
All right.
But you have good wine. So I like you.
So second most interesting thing is they closed early today.
Yes.
Do you think that they close early a lot?
No, I don't know.
What are you suggesting? Are you suggesting a work ethic that is subpar?
I was just thinking that if they close early often, that it might be somewhere I would also like to work.
Oh.
If they close at 2 o'clock most days.
Oh, okay.
Well, great place to work.
It's a good Argentina that would work there. Mm-hmm. We had to, you know.
Good steak.
It's true. You know, the third most interesting thing, I found the I Heart Pizza bottle in the boxes, and I put it next to the Trump wine. So Trump now is with good, so we have three bottles.
Four.
Okay, yeah, we haven't drank that other one. Four bottles up there. I didn't count the cat bottle. I wasn't thinking about that.
You should.
Trump, the Trump wine.
Which we liked.
Yes. It is with, it has three. It's like four wise men and Trump, or three wise men and Trump. And by Trump is cat bottle.
The cat bottle.
Wearing a Santa costume, including the Santa hat.
And the weird face painting that Rob did to it.
That's true. And it has a belt. It's a Santa.
It also has a top hat.
Yeah, well, that's a Santa hat. Yeah.
No, you drew a top hat on
it. Oh, I did.
And
it's going out to town. Mm-hmm. Next is I Heart Pizza, or I Love Pizza.
We never found that out, did we?
What?
Whether it's I Love or I Heart Pizza.
I don't know, but we've gotten messages on our website about it.
100% I Love Pizza.
Yes. By the way, that is the most hit wine on our WordPress site is that wide. It's like every day you get like 10 people looking up I Heart Pizza. And you know why? Because on Google, that episode is the first thing that comes up, the top thing, if you actually Google I Love Pizza. I'm just serious. I mean, if you Google I Love Pizza right now, boom, there it is. I don't know why you're Googling I Love Pizza.
Well, I mean, probably because you love pizza.
Well, you wanted to, yeah, I guess. But, you know, moving on though, Trump though, cat bottle, I Love Pizza. And then next to it, Naughty Blush Wines, a wine that's so putrid, we will never drink. No.
I think we have to some night.
Yeah, you do that. Anyway, folks, we will be right back.
Because it's naughty. And I want to blush.
It's just not appropriate. Here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care. But your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. So the 2017 Funkenhausen Argentinian Cabernet from Mendoza.
Can we share how this came into our lives?
It did come into our lives by a wine.com purchase.
By?
Me.
And why?
Well, because...
I mean the name.
Oh, the Funkenhausen. You mean, how did I find it?
He likes to say it because it sounds dirty.
I know.
Well, how did I find it? I don't know. That's an excellent question. I think I probably just set something that gets a 90 or above below $20. And I do that often. 95% of the time I don't buy anything. And I was just flipping through and I saw this. I went, that's a weird name. Mm-hmm. Then I saw it was a 1 liter. I went, really? And sometimes I'll buy things for the show hoping that they'll be great. Mm-hmm. Because if they are, you buy another bottle, though currently it's unavailable on wine.com. But still.
Do you think it's unavailable because it's sold out or because they terminated the relationship?
I think it's because it's sold out because Jeff saw that I bought it and he's aware of me. So every time someone says, he says, can I help you find a great wine? He says, Rob, the wine guy bought Funkenhausen and that's why it's all sold out. Same thing. Well, Apatagua, that doesn't explain that because it wouldn't be the unlicensed, you know.
Jeff also talks to me.
Everything is in your cart, of course.
No.
It's in your cart. Scott the other day was saying, you know, he's telling all these great wines that he has in his cart. Yeah. He's not bought them. You should see some of the wines that I've had in my cart before. That means I kind of owned Petrus. I clicked on it accidentally, and it was in my cart. I certainly deleted it from my cart, but it was, in fact, in my cart. So there is a certain level of ownership that somehow you have...
There's no level of ownership.
You somehow believe that creates some sort of ownership, but that's okay.
No, I was just saying I was intending to buy the same bottle that you bought.
Okay, that's great. But you're intending to. That's great.
Yeah.
Great. Payday. Very impressive.
Wait for payday.
Okay, good. Anyway, the winemaker's notes on this. We'll let Becky do that, of course. But
sure. This was... do you want me... Well, anyways, do we read the ranking?
Ranking. Oh, that, yeah, that's
from
Wine Enthusiast.
Oh.
Yeah, start with Wine Enthusiast.
Wine Enthusiast ranked at number 71 out of their top 100 best buys for 2019.
They were enthusiastic.
Yep.
Well, so, 71 enthusiastic. Yeah. That's sort of enthusiastic.
Yeah, it's like just a little shake of jazz hands.
Yeah.
Argentina is home to many German immigrants, including the Funky family. Would you say it like that?
Funk.
Could be.
Funk family, who arrived to Mendoza in the late 1800s. In honor of his maternal ancestors, Kurt Heinlein, found in the Funkenhausen vineyards in the San Rafael Appellation of South Mendoza. The region is located at the foothills of the Andes Mountains, near the banks of the Diamante River, where they grow distinctive Malbec, Syrah, Cab, and Bernarda. Think how gorgeous that would be. But hills of the mountains, river. Wow.
Argentina. It's semi-arid, but it's very nice.
Stunning. This vineyard is family-owned winery that seeks to honor Kurt and Alejandro's German ancestry while establishing an Argentine tradition of winemaking for future generations. Kurt Heinlein and his grandson, Alejandro Leardo Heinlein, chose to bottle their Malbec blend in a unique 1-liter bottle, so there would always be plenty available at gatherings with family and friends. Because to share, you need more than 750 milliliters, is aptly printed on the front of each and every bottle.
It's an interesting little marketing concept.
It actually is.
Mm-hmm.
And folks, you might say, why do you have Triple B read these things? So you can actually understand them.
Well,
I could read it and stumble through it, and Scott, who barely can read, could stumble through it, or the person that could read the best could read it, and that's why we have Becky. Yes.
I think that was a compliment.
Well, it's just, no, it's a fact. It's just beyond me.
I'm choosing to think of it as a compliment, but it was mainly an insult to both of you. But kind I'm of. Choosing it.
Well, I read in voices, so people just fixate on the voice and don't realize I misread the whole damn thing. So.
Yeah, well, we point it out.
Yeah. That's true. Well, the Wine Enthusiast, they, as Becky said, they gave it a 71 out of the top 100. They did that. See, I read it wrong. But they gave it 88 of their points, which is...
a fine score.
It's a sis boom ba kind of enthusiastic. But they wrote, burnt oak and dry barrel aromas dominate a nose with baked berry fruit scents.
Burnt oak. Do you think that what they mean is like smoky, or do you think they mean
charred?
Like, yeah.
Charred. A stout palate is dense and full, while this offers a burnt oak lead flavor balanced by peppery spice notes, dark berry accents, and toast. A spicy, peppery character lingers across a lively finish.
They actually spelled lead inappropriately. They spelled lead like the poisonous toxic substance instead of like lead, like you led.
You were leading something.
Yes,
a good point. Maybe they meant lead.
Maybe it is burnt oak lead flavor.
Yes. I know. It is possibly.
Mm.
Well, I don't want to know how lead tastes.
So this, I'm a little bit anxious.
It's a toxic substance that collects and accumulates in your body.
Right.
Bad for you.
So today, our middle son, William, found a burnt veggie straw.
Mm.
And he saved it for me to try.
Okay.
Because he thought it tasted like coffee. And because I like coffee, I would like this burnt veggie straw.
Mm.
It was disgusting, but I'm imagining this glass of wine. At this point, I'm like, that's what I'm imagining is that burnt veggie straw.
He showed it to me, and I said, get that away from me. I don't know what you're showing me.
Yeah. It was a little brown.
I didn't know what it was. I didn't know. All I know is, so Henry normally is a go-getter, will clean the house. William is the, you know, and Luke is Luke. Well, Henry's at baseball, and I'm home with the other two tonight. And William... he actually got in the bathtub and scrubbed it with a scrub brush and scrubbed it clean. Well, he was running around. He picked up stuff, all the other stuff. I mean, he cleaned everything. He was doing everything. Luke crapped in his pants, turned on the TV, sat down on the coffee table, and was eating veggie straws.
Well, he's young.
He's filling the William void now. So, winemaker's notes. They said dark violet and with ruby edges in the glass. There are black fruits and red pepper. And there's no burnt oak. With mixed and subtle notes of spice and vanilla. The texture is bold but elegant on the palate with a balanced finish that invited another pour. 85% Cabernet, 12% Malbec, 3% Petit Verdot. So that means it's wonderful.
And yes, thank you. This is James Suckley, and I have waited too long. I believe he waited to the end to let me speak, and that pisses me off. I gave this wine, of course, 91 of my points. I like that number. It's my favorite number. And I wrote, very fresh and focused with blueberry and currant aromas and flavors. Medium-bodied, balanced and refined, pretty and satisfying.
Just like Jeb Dunnock.
1 liter bottle.
You know, pretty and satisfying. There are so many like serial killers that have said that about someone that it's probably just not something you should use as a wine descriptor.
You know, this is one of those wines where between the winemaker's notes, James Suckling's review, and the wine enthusiast review, there's nothing in comparison. No. Nothing similar about them.
Well, let's just hope that the wine enthusiasts are a bunch of dullards. We know that they are, so that helps. The tasting panel, unfortunately, did not obviously have a quorum. Ricky was unavailable once again. Had to work the midnight shift, and then they only had two guys. So they ate Hot Pockets and, you know, went to bed.
Hey, don't...
I'm a little bit relieved.
Spicy pepperoni Hot Pockets, pretty damn good.
Mm.
Yeah, I like the spicy pepperoni Hot Pocket.
I'm mainly relieved that James Suckling didn't mention a lead flavoring.
Yeah,
I don't like lead. If it had rose water.
But I am alarmed that he also included that it's a 1 liter bottle in his review.
I wanted people to know that it was 1 liter.
Well, I feel like he had like a whatever word limit, like minimum, and he needed three more words, and he's like, okay, 1 liter bottle, fine.
They counted the hyphen. It was nice.
Doesn't it look like that? Because right before it, pretty and satisfying, 1 liter bottle. Like, he really knocked himself out writing this review.
Did you know 1 liter bottle is a sentence?
Especially for a wine he's giving a 91.
What?
That's like a 14 for anything
else. That's not a strong score.
Could have spent two more minutes writing.
Everyone
this
else's
review.
85 is my 92.
It's. What do you think about it in the glass?
It looks like wine.
Do you think it looks pretty and satisfying?
Not so much. I don't think it looks dense.
I've never said that without plastic sheeting on the floor first. So.
Okay.
Ew.
I didn't write it down though.
The nose is a little bit off-putting.
You think? Yeah. What I don't think is I don't smell oak. I don't smell burnt oak or a dry barrel.
You smell lead.
Well, those are the glasses, you know. The smell, okay, there is oak there, but it's not a burnt oak and dry barrel. It's slightly perfumey, but not of the 2020 varietal.
You know what I smell?
1987 kind of.
I smell like
perfume.
A Welch's grape jelly. That's what I jammy. Smell.
Yeah, there's a jamminess to it. It's a dense nose, but it's not evolved. You're correct. It tastes like, let's just be kind, grape, Concord grape compote.
I do have to say, there is a floral element in the background.
Well, I would say
I am also getting like a funk in there as well.
I think there's a little. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say I smell funk, but I'm a little bit having smelled the grape jelly first. The funk does not necessarily make me think it's going to be like an additional layer, more like an off-putting taste. But I'm going to try to keep open mind.
There's vanilla.
Yeah, but like a...
I know what you're talking about, Scott.
Honeysuckle.
Yeah, you're right. It's honeysuckle. I was about...
Like
it
a
was
sweet
just,
floral thing.
Yeah, no. It is. You have to swirl the shit out of the damn glass to get it. But there is one.
Well, I think it's there with that grape jamminess.
So it's
part of the vanilla.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, so. Which, mm-hmm. again, goes to the oak, but it's not a burn oak.
No.
No.
It's not dry barrel. Mm-hmm. There's no, like,
no.
No.
Dry barrel. I don't even know what that is. It's like cedar or something?
I know.
It's not.
And also, burn oak implies some kind of, like, I don't know, advanced oaking. And this is, this does not taste like that or smell like that. I haven't tasted it. The other thing that I've brought up on other episodes is, in the same way that I want to veto animal wines, also vetoing tribute wines. Mm. And this entire vineyard and wine label is a tribute to his grandparents.
He loved his grandparents very much. And all that these general. Other
people. Who was it? Was it Francis Ford Coppola had made a wine for his daughter?
Okay, that's Francis Ford Coppola, though.
And it was horrific.
Okay, you're pulling on a thread there, because I have been nice. Well, I have not mentioned his dumb ass in a long time.
In his, I feel like that was a trigger.
And his frickin', you know, sewer gutter wines, but no, they're not all sewer gutter, but a couple of them are. Cinema. Fuck that cinema. It's old. No, it's $40. It sucks ass. Okay, let's go in here.
Bitter. Bitter, angry, not answering the questions that you need to ask of yourself. I just want to add one last comment about the nose.
Hmm?
It's a bit of an oddball nose.
It is.
You wouldn't take this as a cab. Granted, it's a blend, but you wouldn't take this as a cab.
That's a cab.
It's a cab,
a little jammy for a cab nose.
Oh, it's on the palate, it's jammy. That's what I'm getting to. It is a jammy red wine. However, there's plenty of market and there's plenty of people out there that like a jammy red wine. It's not sweet. It's dry. Mm-hmm. It has big gobs of blackberry and blueberry.
It's pretty full bodied.
It also has
heavy on the palate.
It's relatively pleasantly oaked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's just
the oak is light soft mm-hmm. in the finish. It's
yep.
relatively well oaked.
The vanilla at the end is pretty sweet. It's like a sweet oaking taste. I've only had two sips, but I'm interested to see if we can get anywhere near that burnt oak, because they mentioned it twice. To me, it's a sweet oaking.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of comes with the vanilla. You have a little tinge of cedar as it opens up.
It really does.
But it's not out of bounds. It works within the wine fairly well. But that big gob of fruit up front, that it kind of carries through. And it can hold up to stuff like that, even if it had a little bit of a punch of a char. I don't think I'd like it as much, but it still could handle it.
And it's an oddball that the oak just kind of pops up in the in your back palate, and it doesn't last. It doesn't linger.
No.
And it's not there. It's not ever present. It's kind of weird in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, it's at the end, it's a little bit. It's not the curl you get from like a bad oaking.
No.
But there is something weird. I'm not for sure if I like it or not at the end with the oaking.
I almost wish it was more. It lasted longer. It presented longer.
Yeah, maybe it's just where it goes away so fast.
Yeah.
That's what leaves that aftertaste.
Well, or the lack.
I don't know what the word is.
I just think it's just weird to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
You're used to when you have oak, it's there, and it just, up here it's gone. It's almost like sometimes when we have minerality, it just pops in and pops out.
Yeah.
So oak is doing that. It pops in and pops out.
So this is what? So $15.99 for a liter bottle, so that means it's like a $10 wine, if it's $7.50, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd dig on that. Yeah, I'm down with that.
It's not particularly interesting. But it's okay.
But the fruit is enough. I mean, not every night are you going to sit down and say, I want to think tonight. I know you don't do that. What? So, I mean.
What? Huh?
So.
Yeah.
It is fine. It is fine for a $10 bottle of wine. Something that I don't love about this is a wine for drinking to get drunk. because it's a bigger bottle. And I think it's that is fine. That serves its purpose.
How dare you?
I know.
Big bottle shame, Funkenhausen.
And they've made something relatively easy to drink.
It is.
So that you would be like, oh, sure, I'll have another. It's fine.
Yes.
And so I understand. I know that there's a market for it. It's fine. Not really my cup of tea. And I'll leave it there. I'll address it more in my review. But that's something that I was just thinking about, that this is an easy drinker. You could easily drink two or three glasses of this.
Yes.
Steve Gibson could drink four or five bottles.
You know, you know if you went to a wedding and they served this, you know what you'd say? Give me another glass.
Oh, yeah. You would. Yeah. Oh, my God.
You'd say, give me another glass. Yeah.
Scott, I've never been to that wedding where they serve this.
Yeah.
Well, we, you know.
It would be a relatively economical. I mean, it wouldn't be outrageously priced to have this at a wine, at a wedding.
No, I mean, especially if you wanted something to masquerade as something that is maybe a little bit better, at least for the masses, maybe not for, you know, a wine snob / aficionado, but
you could have the Funkenhausen, this red blend. You could have the dry rosé.
Why?
This is all Rob's dream.
And you could have the Chardonnay.
Yep.
The vomit in a bucket and dump it on my head.
If you have this at a wedding, are you putting the bottle on the bar to show it off?
That's a very good question, because it's not the most attractive bottle. Folks, look online. It's probably ugly as hell. And I understand they're trying to go for... They didn't realize when they had their typeset it was too big to actually have their name. So it looks like two words, but it's all one.
I think that's on purpose.
It's like a 70s movie poster font.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's borderline like serial killer.
Yeah, like from a murder mystery movie font.
What are you talking about? It's pretty unsatisfying.
That's what I thought about when I first saw it. I was like, that almost looks like a serial killer. Cut stuff out of a magazine and glued it to the wine label.
What? Okay, I got what you're saying there. Yes, I picked up what you're putting down. I've written those many a time.
But are you putting that on the bar or not?
Well, most of the weddings we've been to, they would.
I don't know. You put it right on the table.
I mean,
there you go.
Let's be honest. Not a lot of white glove weddings have we been to. So, some decent ones, but they're not white glove, man. They'd be showing the Funkenhausen. But if you drank it, you go, put it up there so I can see it. Oh, hell yeah.
Right. Why not?
Here's another question. Mm. How would you know that this is from Argentina?
It says it right there, Argentina. Taste-wise, that would be different.
Yeah, you could. This could be a jammy red wine from anywhere.
Okay, first of all,
I wouldn't expect this to be from France.
That, though, is a very excellent question. That's something to consider. Why would we feel, and obviously we know by the name and the bottle where it's from, but how could we eliminate certain places? First of all,
I think I would guess this to be a Cali. Because it's pretty jammy, it's pretty big. I think I would think, I don't know how I would get myself oriented to South America.
Well, it's not Paso. It's just not Paso because I am not sick.
Wait till you get the lead.
Yeah. It's not Sonoma because it doesn't have the Earl Grey. It's not Napa. It's just not Napa. Although, it could be Trader Joe's Napa. But no, it's not.
It could be I'm using air quotes, California cab.
Yeah, sure. California label. Sure.
The one thing I will say.
It could be, I'll be honest, it could be a jammy Australian.
Okay. Taste the fruit again. In the fruit, there's just a slight underripeness that I think also is being affected by the oak. That would bring me to South America. Now, I'm not sure if I'd say Chilean or Argentinian. Or Argentini. Or Argentina.
I don't.
Argentina. But that little tinge.
You think that would get you to South America?
Is that underripened or is that just like a little acidity that's there?
It's a little bit of a... Well, it's the same compound that presents as green pepper. However, it's so minute, it's just showing lightly. So if you sat back, took a moment, thought about it. Yeah, I think you'd be in South America.
I don't think I would. There's nothing vegetal about this.
Yeah, I don't get the visual.
And I think that that is normally. There you go. There's nothing vegetal. I don't get any green pepper at all. Mm-hmm. And I know what you're talking about, but I don't think it would lead me there. I think I would just call this like a generic. I know I would say generic Californian.
That's where I would go. If I was going to go guessing and trolling, it wouldn't be South America. I would, like I said, some kind of funky Australian thing.
Maybe the oaking would give us a clue that it's not Californian, but I don't know that I would go anywhere else.
First
I don't
of all,
know.
I like it, so it probably, I would assume it's not going to be Californian. Well, I mean, I have not had any Californian labels that are as good as this. I'm not saying this is going to the Hall of Fame. It's going to the Hall of Fame. It's not. But this is better than those. I'm not saying that there isn't a wine in California that tastes like this. I'm sure that there is. I'm very sure that there is. Yeah. There would have to be. However, stylistically, once again, French mindset. It still has a French mindset, even though it has big fruit. It's oaked like a French wine would
be. Yeah, really, really softly.
Yes. The terroir expresses itself. It's semi-arid there. It is in Napa a little bit too, but not like this. You know, Argentina has a certain terroir that really does come through. I would mix it up with Chile. I'm not that good between those, but I mean, I don't taste Cali in this wine. I don't. It's not jazzy. So stylistically, it's not what the Washington wines are going for. It's not.
I'm going to do a blind tasting of this in like 2 years, and I'm going to see if you get it.
That's fine. That's fine.
You know it's some kind of funky blend.
No.
It's mostly cab, but the Malbec shows through in it. The Malbec shows through.
But Scott, the problem with that is most of the cabs we're drinking, they all have a similar breakdown. Yeah. I mean, and then maybe not necessarily that. Malbec, but the Malbec's going to show similar depending on the quality of the Malbec to other things. And they don't have 100% Malbec, so that says what to think of their Malbec.
Rob, this is Argentinian Malbec. You know how trendy that is.
Becky loves Argentinian Malbec.
She does.
But when you step back and think about that,
My favorite wine is Argentinian Malbec.
I'm going to sing a song like that.
Which means, what I'm saying is, Malbec might show on a lot of Cabernets that have 13% in it, but I'm basically tone deaf to it because they all do it.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? But drink this next Rodney Strong. Doesn't taste like Rodney Strong. Drink this next to Josh. Doesn't taste like Josh.
I get you.
I mean, drink this next to an Alexander Valley. They taste different. And from a varietal standpoint, what other grape would you come up with? It doesn't taste French because there's too much fruit in the front palate.
Princess Botta.
Doesn't taste Italian.
Lodi. Cab blend. It was predominantly cab. I forget what else was in it. It's called Gen 5. And it was similarly jammy like this. I didn't care for it. It was oaked differently.
Scott.
It was bad.
That had a spoonful of sugar in it. Gen 5, I've seen that slage.
Yeah.
That don't insult the Argentina.
No, it had a similar grape jamminess.
But this isn't this. Taste it again. To say it, on the nose, it was grape jamminess. On the palate, it's blueberry and actually it's even shown a little more savory aspects too. It has, I think, a very good fruit profile. It's a little muddled. It's a little homogenous.
Yeah.
But it's a good fruit profile. And like you said, it has good weight. To say it's full-bodied might be a stretch
of
imagination.
That's a big stretch.
But it's up in the mediums to the point where, you know, you say, that's good enough, especially at the price.
First thing when it hits your palate, you get that grape jamminess. Mm-hmm. And then you get the berry. And then the savory comes in. Actually, as it's opened up, that savory is expressing itself even more. Yeah. And it's right in the mid-palate.
It's got really good fruit.
It as this has opened up, it has really improved.
Yeah, it's improving.
It really has.
Yeah.
That is...
I think
it's there's a minerality expressing itself. There's almost some red meat.
Okay.
Go hit it again. Hit it again.
Slow down, Tiger.
Hit it again.
Red meat.
Hit it again. Mid palate, with that savory Scott, fruit, there's a little.
I will give you.
Hit it again.
It does have some minerality.
Swirl it and but hit it go, again.
But going to the extreme of red meat.
Hit it again.
Should I hit a crack pipe before I hit it again? I mean, it's not.
Besides a mango chutney,
yeah.
What would you pair this with?
Steak. Steak.
I don't want to go that far.
Why not?
Burger.
Oh, you dumbass. No, you could do it on a steak.
Hit it again. You're not playing along. Swirl it. With that savory fruit, there's a little bit, a tinge of red meat.
There's minerality. It doesn't go that far.
You're such a baby.
Probably because the fruit is bright. If the fruit wasn't so bright, perhaps it would show more of that to me. Maybe it's showing that to you because you, I don't know, you were at that golf course earlier. Maybe you were licking your tea too much.
It's allegedly a golf course.
Okay, well, that's true.
It's a cow pasture.
Where guys hit it 50 yards in front of the green and just have it hop up.
Rebecca, is this wine as it's opened up? Have you changed your opinion on this anywhere?
What is this? Is this your Malbec impersonation? What is that?
As this has opened up, have you changed your opinion on this?
I might. I'm open to changing my mind on it.
It really has opened and changed somewhat.
It does have sulfites in it. I know that.
You are very red-faced.
You are.
But I like it, so I'll keep drinking.
So,
Rob.
Is this the
Human litmus test for sulfites? And he is brilliantly red right now.
I know. Just got a little sun on his cheeks.
I can feel it.
So.
Nice job, Funkenhausen. Get your shit together.
For.
Sulfites are naturally occurring in wine. Sometimes
yeah, but we others. Realize that
oftentimes yes. They're used for different purposes
such
in
as
the winemaking process.
Killing me?
Softly.
Yes.
With his song.
I'm
with
Scott.
His sulfites.
One more.
There's different purposes.
So hey, Scott, this song was all about you.
This wine is like the entry-level wine for this winery. They have the other line, La Espara.
Oh, I didn't go that. I didn't dive deep. La Espara.
You didn't even look at their website.
I couldn't find. I found their. I actually found their Global Vineyards Importer website. I didn't find their website. That's fascinating.
Could you put a bigger piece of cheese in your mouth and talk?
At least I didn't bite off and put it on my plate. Tell me more about their website.
Tell me more.
La Espara looks like it is normal sized bottles.
Oh.
Yeah, that was that Funkenhausen Malbec La Espara, the 2010 bottle that was at budget bottles for $12.99.
You open that, it's going to creak when you pull out the cork.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. That you're like permanently have one purple tooth after you drink that.
And then it falls out.
Yeah.
Yes. It's not actually stained. It's just, you know.
Yes. So reading from the Funkenhausen website, La Espera. Un sueño si fuera con lo más noble tu nombre. ¿Qué se dice?
You sound like you're Japanese reading Spanish, which is slightly offensive.
I think I'm Japanese.
The Japanese.
Good Japanese. And I really think so.
People that speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And to me.
And to Bo. And he's asleep.
Un terruño que la brache.
I know you've never been to Spain, Scott, but no one in Spain speaks that way at all. When I was in Spain, I didn't speak that way, and I spoke bad Spanish.
But that would be an interesting wine to taste. This, I feel like, has some potential. It's not... not developed isn't the right word. It's probably around the max that it can be. True. But it would be interesting to try something that is on a higher, like the La Espara.
Or you could just say, screw it and drink Alpatagua instead.
And to read the mandatory government disclaimer. Beber con moderación. Prohibo su venta a los menores de 18 años.
You sound like a fucking dictator.
No, he sounds like he is doing not the closed captioning on a TV.
That's what I was going for.
See, Becky recognizes talent.
The whitest white man with even like he's wearing a plaid shirt and a really it's bushy person, mustache.
No, it's like when you watch a movie and someone starts speaking in a language and someone starts yelling over top of them in another language to translate it. That's what it sounds like.
But it's
like
a dude that looks like that doing that. Yeah. It's, what's the guy's name that drinks Dornfelner? Him. Doing Spanish interpretations. Yeah, probably an interpretive dance while he also did it. So,
well, he's doing interpretive art, throwing paint on the wall. That's really not paint. It's animal feces.
Ew.
Yeah, he's that guy. Dornfelder drinker.
And you're that guy that just came up with that demented, odd, rambling thought.
I came up with demented, odd thoughts about the Dornfelder.
You came up with
you
that.
He was a murderer.
I never said he was a murderer.
You did say he was a murderer.
I said he was too boring to be a murderer.
No.
Go back and listen to the episode, dipshit. No, no. What was his name? It wasn't Sven. It was, No. What the hell was
Rodney?
It? No, Rodney.
It was a simple name.
That's an edgy name. Rodney's not a simple name.
Rodney's not a simple name?
No.
It's two syllables, six letters. That's a simple name.
Well, Scott is one syllable.
Yes, it is.
So there we go.
But it could be one T, two Ts. There's a lot of variation there.
Yeah.
There is.
It's almost, you could be a one T and be an artiste, couldn't you?
Well,
dumbass. Yeah. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes, or Stitcher, or TuneIn, or Spreaker, or Podbean, or some other app I've never heard of, but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. On tonight's potpourri, I'm going to ask a very, actually good question, and this will tell me a lot. I'm going to go around the room in the spirit of bigger is better. What wine have you had that you...
It's not always painful, just sometimes.
Okay. that's your experience, huh?
That's what I've been told.
Okay. Anyway, what wine have you had that you have said to yourself at some time, boy, I wish this was a 1 liter or 1.5 liter. What wine can you think of that you said that about, that you have actually personally wished, boy, I wish I had a big damn bottle of that?
Oh, that Mad Dog is a mean wine.
Now, I know we've said that on the show before. I just can't remember when we've said it.
Mad Dog?
No, not Mad Dog. I'll start off with Scott because Triple B is texting currently. And she likes to put her thoughts together, too. And I'm curious what she'll say.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Scott. Go first.
I know.
I don't even know the question.
Normally you get something thrown at you for that.
I know for sure one time we said that out loud.
Let me tell Becky the question, because even though you're going to answer it, just because you're going to answer doesn't mean she'll know the question after you answer it. The question is, Becky... Are you listening?
I am.
Okay, good. What wine have you had before that you would say right now, I wish I had a 1.5 liter of that? It's only a visa away, by the way. Go ahead.
100% we discussed that.
Yeah.
And it may not have been on air, but definitely we said it afterwards, sitting on the couch, about Clarendon Hills.
Okay, Scott. Not crazy wines. We're talking about
crazy wines.
It's everyday one of the wines.
Most spectacular not, wines we've ever seen.
Not Hickenbothen from 2009.
I have one.
Go, Becky, please.
I would say a Patagua. Number one, you can't find it.
Okay.
Number two, it was a delight. It has everything I love in a Pinot.
Oh.
And
it's not Love Block.
It's not Love Block.
Although we thought it was Love Block.
A lot cheaper.
Yeah.
And I just feel like it's a really appropriate time to mention it since we're drinking an Argentinian.
From the same importer.
Well,
Cabernet.
See, I thought we were actually looking for one where we actually said, I wish we had a 1.5 of this.
Scott, we might have said, I am the king of Switzerland that night. We were so fucking drunk. So
No. We weren't that drunk.
Scott, that was a...
Yeah. We weren't...
How many bottle night?
Four.
Rob and I were talking about that the other day, because what did you all drink last week after I went to bed?
Nothing.
Some rosé. What did you drink?
Something that I would rather drink someone's bath water.
But anyways, we were talking about it. And Rob is so depressed that how bad the second wines have been lately.
Gave it an 88, by the way.
He's picking it.
I know. He is picking it. But I think also where you all used to save that kind of pig shit for the first episode and then drink something insanely grand the second episode, it's been a real fall from grace for Rob.
He's just afraid of you. He knows he's fallen short of your graces, so he's trying to get in good with you by... having the good wines first.
Or alternatively, I get tired of waking up on Monday morning, wherever it is, with a hangover. So I know that if we taper down with shit. And by the way, Scott, you have no idea what's in store after bed. You have no idea.
I think it's a white wine, man. Since it's in the fridge.
It is. Think of it as what's a business in the front, party in the back. That's kind of what this wine is.
Malete.
Say that again.
Malete. I don't even know what that is. Yes. Business in the front, party in the back. That's what this wine is. Yeah. And you bought it. So.
You're a bad man.
So just
you're a bad, bad
man. Don't buy gutter wines. How's that sound?
It's the COVID. They're not stocking wines like they once did. They have utter trash out there.
I've always bought these things on wine.com.
This is the only time I will have Rob's back. You have always bought a lot of...
I bought a lot of good stuff, too.
Different.
Not in recent memory.
Apple Taco?
Okay, there's one.
Mm-hmm. But that was a slam dunk.
And you already... And Douglas told you that was good. So
that's a 17.
I know. Oh, I wish he would write us with more recommendations.
No, I wish he would write Scott with recommendations. I'm doing okay. Scott recommendations.
It's just, off the shelf at the grocery, it's a difficult.
What do you do? Oh, oops. It is. Do you lose your focus because you just pooped in your pants and you don't know what to do?
Sometimes you got to go really bad.
He's like, oh, damn it. I just got to grab it. And you just go. Why didn't you buy Gen 5 for us? That would be lovely.
No, wouldn't have brought that.
So what did you...
I'm not going to buy Lodi cabs.
Oh, mine. A 1.5 liter. Or just a bigger format, really. I mean, I like the 1 liter format. Partly because, maybe not for two people, but three or four people, it's perfect.
Right.
Well, 750, I mean, it didn't go very far, especially with, thirsty people.
I know what I wish would have had one or 1.5 liter. You remember when we could get, and you can't, by the way, folks, it's hard for us to find the Ravenswood County specific series in the Citadel here locally. That would have been fantastic in a 1 liter or 1.5 format.
But what I'm thinking of is stuff that is inexpensive, and then, as opposed to $12.99, it costs $17.99, but you got a liter of it, right?
Right.
Becky was right. Alpatago stuff is good. But, you'd probably have to assume something that would be a little bit more... I'm not going to say trashy, just not, McManus would be a good one,
What about, Louis?
Louis who?
Bernard.
No, that's not what I was thinking of.
That would have been nice in a 1.5.
Wagner, if they want to do their Cab Franc in a one liter, that'd be nice. An old flame of ours was Wente.
Hecula and a bomber.
Well, actually, Centine. That's always nice. Chantilly is good. A lot of those cheap Italian wines. Not. And by the way, folks, I've accused Scott in the past of doing wicker basket Chiantes. He has a fucking wicker basket Chiante in his house.
It's 10 years old.
It's in his house. It doesn't matter.
Princess bought it to melt candles on.
It's in your house. You have it. I don't have any wicker basket
Chiantes. I'm going to buy a bottle of wicker basket candy just for you.
That would be such an improvement over sweet beet wine.
I'm going to buy it from Trader Joe's too.
You bought sweet beet wine.
Well, it's like a joke.
Is it a joke?
Sweet beet wine was a joke.
First of all, it's not that cheap. Well, you know, there's been a lot of jokes. You're basically Fozzie Bear of the wine purchases.
I told you I was going to buy sweet beet wine.
No, you didn't.
Oh my God.
I wouldn't even know what you're talking about.
You've seen it.
Why would I have seen? Where do they sell it at?
In the grocery.
Which grocery?
All of them.
All of them.
Yeah.
Every single. I've never seen it at Kroger.
I think I bought it at Kroger.
Maybe I don't go in that section. What section are you looking at?
Obviously the vegetable section.
Okay, apparently so. I don't know. Maybe it's a pornography section that they have that
it's
I don't know
It's on the
about.
End cap.
Which end cap? Scott, you understand each store has a different end cap. Which Kroger?
Yeah, the Krogers have different end caps on wines.
Well, I apparently walk fast past the end cap, if that's a whole end cap.
You go straight to clearance.
Let's first be truthful. You probably bought that at Giant Eagle, didn't you?
I have not bought wine at Giant Eagle in forever.
That makes two of us, but still. I like how they have the Giant Eagle, they have the clearance cart. And when you do the math, you went, that's, and they have a discount. It was like the clearance price. Went, that's the retail price. I was at Kroger this week, and they had Flora Springs Napa Merlot on clearance, which is very exciting. But then I saw the price. I went, yeah, that's what you fuckers had it on. Before on the shelf, I saw it. It was like $23. I went, yeah, that's what it already was. That's not the clearance price. D-bags.
We did have some good success with the Kroger clearance there for a while. About 6 months ago. Yeah,
but
where we nailed
it. But it seems like they're.
Rutherford Hill.
Rutherford Hill was good. But they're using the Giant Eagle method of, oh, it was the same price. No. Guess what? I watch. I know what all your prices are. Fuck you. Did I give an answer? Doesn't matter.
Kind of, sort of. You just were kind of flippantly flying through things. I thought this was actually a episode in. You actually drank something and said, I would like to have this in a larger bottle.
I think this works in a liter bottle. So
this one, the Funkenhausen does.
It does. And to prove that, we're going to come back and give it Stella reviews here.
Stella?
Maybe that too. Here on the Wine Vault. Back, folks. So the 2017 Funkenhausen,
you man, why you got to talk to me like that?
Cabernet Sauvignon from Argentina, a 1 liter bottle. We're gonna go around the room and start off with the triple B.
Say Argentina like that one dude.
I don't know who you would be talking to have a dude to tell you how it's pronounced.
Carolina.
Oh.
Santa Carolina.
We understand that's in Chile.
Say Argentina like he
does. Why
would
he pronounce anything in Argentina?
Be fun.
The Chileans don't particularly like the Argentinians, I don't believe.
I don't think they like you.
Which one? Or both?
Any of them.
Possibly the whole continent of South America, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I think the Peruvians like me.
No.
I have no data to go on that by, but so.
Listen, you make far too much light of James Suckling. He is South America's wine angel.
Do you think that they let him in South America? He goes there for nefarious purposes.
I'm ready to give my review.
Well, go ahead. Scott's been interrupting you.
So, for my review, I am giving this review, but am recommending this wine. Not for Hall of Fame, Value Price Hall of Fame, just as a buy. Yeah. I think it's a really interesting wine to have something like this. I think anytime you can expand your palate, especially into South America, is just really a bonus, and the price is very, very reasonable. And so I think it is definitely worth a buy. I would buy again for sure if we were all hanging out. I think it would be a totally fine bottle of wine to pick out. So I wanted to say that before I give my review and my score, because my score is an 87.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's a fine score.
Right.
It's
so
a
the
lot
wine...
higher score than I thought you were going to get.
No.
I thought it was going to be like, but I'm giving it an 84. Because
no. No.
82. But I really recommend it.
No.
That's that's what the buildup was.
It's jammy. There's not a lot of a mid palate. The oaking is a pretty quick finish. So it doesn't have a lot of length to it.
Fair.
Quit talking about Scott.
It doesn't, to me, it hasn't stood up to being decanted. It's fallen apart a bit.
Really?
Yeah, I don't, I think maybe the oaking is maybe mellowed a little bit because it was a little bit unusual at the end, but the jamminess has settled down a lot. And to me, it just feels like the essence of the wine is gone from being decanted for this long. It's not a wine that you're going to put away in age or anything like that. But I think it is definitely something to try, see if you like it. I would recommend buying this, but my score is an 87.
So I also recommend to buy this. Price point, you can't, you know, 1 liter, what, $14, whatever it is.
$15.99.
Okay, still, yeah. You know, and I give the same score, 87, but for a different reason. I was going to score it lower, and then as it's opened up, I've enjoyed it more. I think the mid palate is expressing itself better now. Mm. That little slight minerality that's kicked in there, but also the fruit has kind of differentiated itself more. Where originally, one of the things we were saying, I think Rob used the word muddled. It was kind of muddled fruit. Now it's very differentiated. It's very differentiated. There's the grapey jamminess at front, although it's calmed down. And then there's the berry, and then there's this kind of savory fruit in the mid palate. There's some minerality there, and there's that just little whiff of oak there.
Yeah.
It is a short finish.
Mm-hmm. But
what do you expect for if it's $7.50 bottle, it's, you know, $11.
Yeah.
But it's not particularly interesting, but it's drinkable.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy. I think approachable to most people who like red wine would like this.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of any reason a red wine drinker wouldn't appreciate this cheap red blend bottle of wine.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recommend it for the Value Price Hall of Fame?
Why not?
I don't. I don't recommend it there because I don't think
I can live with it.
I don't. Number one, the score isn't high enough unless you were to roll in with a 90. But I also don't feel like this brings any original or any like niche thing to the wall. We're not getting some like, oh, this was a, you know, fine, but it had this like crazy streak of blank in it.
You're basically not to mansplain, but
I know, thank you.
Well, I understand.
Well, don't mansplain it.
I won't. I think it stands on its own. With that though, honestly, that was the best argument ever on the Wine Vault, because I was leaning towards Value Price Hall of Fame, but once you said that, and the reality is, the biggest interesting thing about this wine is it's 1 liter.
I know.
That's it.
I know.
It's really not interesting.
I bashed James Suckling for saying that, but he's like,
fine.
Oh, 1 liter bottle.
It is. I'm giving it also an 87. Yeah. That being said, 87 is top of the mark. It's 85 to 87 is the range. You know it's Cam. I know it's South America.
God.
There's no way, Scott. We bring this to the table in 12 months.
Come on.
He doesn't know.
No, I've done very now. I do very well on blind tastes. Remember the last two wines you tried to pose to me? I actually got the damn wine right.
Because you knew what was in your library.
I can just read
Scott,
your
we'll
mind.
We'll have to use your wine.com account in a year.
Go ahead.
We'll buy this.
Just come on.
He doesn't know it's Argentinian now.
I'll know when I start getting tunnel vision after three sips that
I know,
it's Funkenhausen.
Well, the sulfite.
My left eye
and honestly,
is my best eye right now. My right eye kind of is closing shut. It's okay.
And honestly, that is a reason that it probably shouldn't be an evaluation.
No, yes. Funkenhausen. You know, you might want to actually do a little chemical testing on your products before it kills somebody.
Well,
it's not as bad as Smith & Hook. Smith & Hook was terrible. Smith & Hook, I needed an epi-fucking-pin. This isn't that bad. Although, my right eye is a little bit droopy. That's okay. It'll come back. It'll be fine.
Anything for the show.
I don't need it currently. I don't need it currently. Triple B is to my right. I know where she is. It's fine. I have a dog here. I can just put a lead on him. He'll leave me upstairs.
You know, if we start talking about the garden again, you might need to see out of that right eye because she might throw a haymaker at
I'll
you.
Dodge. Trust me. Anyway.
Oh, Becky.
It's a good.
He's inflaming you.
It's a good solid.
I'm sorry.
Scott, we never use this term. Banquet wine.
Yeah, there it is. We've said wedding wine.
A banquet wine. But it's a little bit bigger than a banquet wine would be. But it's a fun wine. And would we ever drink it in? Yeah, we would.
I don't know about fun. I wouldn't. I think it's just short of fun.
I think it's fun.
I think it's approachable.
You think rosé is fun. So who cares?
No, I would agree with Scott that it's just short of fun. If there was like really just like one little thing, I would be like, oh my gosh, like 90.
But no, but that's not necessarily fun.
I know.
But it's easy.
We don't share 90s with other people.
It's easy. This would be, it's approachable.
You'd be fine with sharing this with anybody, really, wouldn't you? If you're on the back deck and you said, what's wine number two going to be? Do you want to open Mercer? Or if you had Funkenhausen sitting there, you was like, Funkenhausen. It has a niche. It has a niche. Because, first of all, you can drink it. And it's fine, except for me. My eyes shut. But
so are you saying that?
But no.
This is the wine you'd serve for people that you don't want to serve your good stuff to.
Yes. No, Scott.
He is such a bad
man,
people.
That is what he said.
But on a three-bottle night, Scott, do you taste the third bottle? Do you taste the third bottle? No, you don't. You're not going to pull out Elowan.
Yeah, we had a little discussion.
Or any
my house
Wagner
the other
product.
Night. We were... You go get a bottle of Turley, honey. This is the third bottle. You guys had wine earlier. They had a bottle of Turley.
What if you just pulled out anything like they'd know what Turley was
and put it in a decanter?
They wouldn't know. But Funkenhausen in there, she wouldn't know.
You're crazy. She knows.
I'm not.
And she enjoyed it. I had a sip, and I agree that the Juvia is spectacular. I didn't call it spectacular because I just had a sip.
Yeah.
It was not decanted. I just had a sip.
Funkenhausen is a good imposter. That's all I'm saying. I like it. I do. I like it except for the fact my eyes swell and shut, but that's more on me.
I think we should try the La Aspara line.
The 2010 especially.
Mm.
Yes. No. Well, next, folks, we have a lot of things from Apatagua. A winery to come in and
I can't wait.
Two cabs and a Malbec.
Okay. We almost drank it. What night was that?
Like you wanted Saturday to drink it on night? Friday night. It came on Friday. You wanted to drink it all. You said, fuck Scott. I want to drink Apatagua. I want to drink Apatagua.
I said, if it hadn't come in the mail today, we would be drinking.
You know, it's funny. She doesn't know about the 8 bottles of Pinot Noir that I happened to score, but they're all in my cart. So, folks, 387s. A recommended but not value-priced Hall of Fame. But you know what? I'm going to give them a tip of the cap.
Yeah.
Because they make a respectable value-priced product in a big format. And I like it. Except for the fact, I feel like I had a stroke.
Well, the sulfite issue is another thing. But there's a lot of things you could do to screw up a wine like this. But they stayed out of their own way.
Should it affect one side of your body? Because my right side of my body, my most important side, does not function properly. This eye is like this. And my arm is a little numb, but it's still moving, but I don't know that it's moving. It's doing it on its own accord, but that's okay. Maybe I'm just drunk. So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, We're going to bid you adieu.
Au revoir, Mas.
And see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.